Friendship According to Humphrey, Chapter 14. Oh no, more snow! It was eerie to hear the bell ring for morning recess, lunch, and afternoon recess, when there was no one at school except Og and me. Staring out at all that snow gave me a chill. The temperature was dropping inside as well. What was it that Aldo had said about turning down the heat at night to save money? It felt even chillier as I realized there was no one around to turn the heat up again. Luckily, I had my fur coat, my sleeping house, and a nice pile of wood shavings I could crawl into to keep warm. I wondered how Og was doing with nothing more than four glass walls, some greenery, and an unheated swimming pool. I dozed for much of the day and nibbled on the stash of food I kept hidden in my sleeping nest. We hamsters are smart about saving up food in case of emergency. But my food dish was empty, and my water was getting low. Between naps, I gazed out the window. There were still no cars on the street. In fact, I couldn't tell where the street ended and the sidewalk began. Everything was a solid sheet of white. Og was quiet most of the time, and the crickets were silent too. I was bored, 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 all alone in the classroom. I even missed math class. Finally, I hopped on my wheel for some lively exercise. That warmed me up, but it also made me hungry. When I checked my stash of food, the only thing left was a limp tomato stem. The bell signaling the end of school finally rang. I wondered what my classmates were doing. AJ was probably watching TV with his family. Garth and Andy would be playing video games. I figure Miranda was cuddling up with Clem. Didn't his bad breath bother her? Saya was no doubt helping her mom care for her younger brother. And Mrs. Brisbane was probably bustling around her warm, toasty kitchen while Mr. Brisbane built a birdhouse. They were all warm, all cozy, and all well-fed. They were definitely not worrying about me or Og. I wasn't helping myself by thinking of these things. I decided to work on my poem. What rhymes with gloom? Doom! I slipped my notebook and pencil out of their hiding place behind my mirror and burrowed down in my pile of wood shavings to keep warm. I promptly fell asleep. It was nighttime when I woke up. Hey, Og, do you think Aldo will come tonight? I asked my neighbor. Og didn't answer. Aldo didn't come. The snow kept falling. Around midnight, I heard a funny whirring sound and looked out the window. A huge machine, way bigger than a car, crept down the street like a giant yellow snail with an orange light spinning around on top. It rolled along slowly, then disappeared. 3 hours later, it returned from the opposite direction and disappeared again. Did you see that, Og? I squeaked loudly. He was definitely ignoring me, and I didn't blame him. I'd said terrible things to him, things he probably understood. Guilt made me feel even colder. Og, I didn't mean it when I said I didn't care if you were my friend, I called out from my cage. I'll forgive you for splashing me if you'll forgive me for saying those things, okay? Boing. I think he meant okay, but there was something odd about the way Og sounded. Maybe he was hungry like me. Then I recalled that he didn't need to eat as often as I do. Frogs have all the luck. The next morning, the snow stopped falling, but the ground was covered and there were still no cars or people to be seen, except for that parked snowball, car. Even if it hadn't snowed, nobody would have come to school because it was Saturday. 1 week ago today, I was starring in Magic Mitch's show. Now I was alone, almost. Cold, 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 hungry, and forgotten. All my life, some human had brought me food and water and cleaned my cage. I'd been well cared for. I'd never had to fend for myself. But I was a smart and capable hamster. It was time for me to take care of myself, like my wild hamster ancestors, the ones who lived in the forests with piles of leaves and pine cones and all the fruits and nuts they could collect. Hunger must have clouded my brain, because it hadn't occurred to me until that moment that all my hamster food was right on the table. Yummy things like hay, mealworms, grain, and vitamin drops. All I had to do was help myself. I opened the lock that doesn't lock and stumbled out of my cage. "Og, are you okay?" I called out. "Boing," he replied weakly. It had been a while since he'd eaten too, and I remembered Mrs. Brisbane talking about how important it was for frogs to have fresh water. "I'm going to get some food," I explained. "Maybe I can find some mealworms for you." "I don't think I can get the cricket cabinet. Lucky for the crickets." "Boing!" Og sounded even weaker this time, and he didn't look as green as usual. For a frog, that's not good. I rushed across the top of the table, slightly faint from hunger. And there they were, a great big bag of Nutri-Nibbles, a taller bag of hamster hay, and a giant jar of mealy worms. Yum! Of course, getting from the table to the top of those containers was a big problem for a small hamster. If I climbed up the bag of Nutri-Nibbles, for example, I would be in serious danger of falling into the bag and getting trapped there. Even though I love Nutri-Nibbles, I didn't want to spend my last minutes on Earth being crushed by them. No, the only sensible approach was brute force. I decided to take a run at the bag and knock it over. The treats would tumble out, and I could eat to my heart's content. I took a deep breath and ran at the bag yelling, "Charge!" It didn't quite work according to my plan. I hit the bag with all my might, and the bag tipped a little. Unfortunately, then it tipped back the other way and crashed down on top of me. I wasn't crushed, but I was trapped underneath the bag of treats. There was a little airspace around me, and I could see a glimmer of light. I could breathe, too. I just couldn't get out. What I could do was yell, "Help! I'm trapped!" I squeaked, although the bag muffled the sound. I'm not sure why I was yelling. "Help me, please!" probably sounded like squeak, squeak, squeak. I squeaked anyway and waited. What was that I heard? Boing, 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 followed by a large crash. I couldn't imagine how Og thought all that noise would help me. Then I heard a new sound. Bop, bop, bop. Soon, Og was grinning at me through the slit of light. That crazy old lump of a frog had managed to hop all the way out of his house, and he'd come to save me. He started leaping at the bag, each time hitting it harder and harder. The bag shifted, and the space around me started to open up as I crawled toward him. Og kept bashing the bag, screaming, Scree, scree. This was a whole new Og and a whole new sound. The space got bigger and bigger, and I crawled along until I could reach out and grab Og. Although I was weak from hunger and all that effort, I managed to grab onto Og's back just as the bag shifted again, flattening out. I was glad, glad, glad I wasn't underneath it anymore. Scree! Og repeated. I pulled myself up on Og's back, and he hopped away from the bag. What a thrill! I was rocking and rolling on his back like a cowboy riding a bucking bronco. Yee-haw! I yelled. Go, Og! Go, frog! Scree! He yelled. All of a sudden, the lights came on, and I heard footsteps. Oh, no! Look at that! They're out of their cages! It was Mrs. Brisbane. They knocked the food over. They must be starving. Poor things. Smart little critters, said Principal Morales, chuckling. Muy intelligente. I hardly recognized those two words. Bundled up in heavy coats and woolly hats with huge scarves, almost covering their faces. How on earth did they get out? Mrs. Brisbane wondered. Maybe somebody didn't lock Humphrey's cage tightly, said the principal, and I guess the frog hopped out of his tank. Look, he pushed the lid off. So I have a lock that doesn't lock, and Og has a top that he can pop. Never fear, Aldo's here, another voice yelled out. A bundled-up Aldo hurried into the room. Are they okay? The snowplow didn't clean our street until half an hour ago. I was going to walk over here, but the radio said it was too dangerous to go out. I know, said Mrs. Brisbane. Bert and I have been worried sick. If I'd known the storm was coming, I would have taken them home with me. And everybody's called me, all the parents, Angie Loomis, everybody. Mrs. Brisbane put me back in my cage and gave me a handful of Nutri-Nibbles. Principal Morales put Og back in his cage and fed him some icky crickets. Gag! Aldo went to get us both fresh water. It's too cold in here for Og, Mr. Morales said. He pulled through all right, but I'm going to buy him a heater. More footsteps clomped across the floor. We came as soon as we got shoveled out, said Miranda, as she, Amy, and Abby arrived. The girls have been worried all day, said Amy. We hadn't been forgotten after all. Heidi's mom, Garth's dad and Saya, and her dad showed up too. Every one of them was worried about Og and me. I wanted to thank them, but it's not polite to talk with your mouth full. They all asked to take us home for the rest of the weekend, but Mrs. Brisbane was quite firm. I'm going to be selfish this time. I'm taking them home with me. My husband would never forgive me if I didn't. Mr. Morales told everyone to be very, very, very careful on the drive back home. He and Aldo helped Mrs. Brisbane prepare our houses for the trip. Finally, my tummy felt full. Og, I squeaked. Thank you, my friend. Does this mean you forgive me? Boing! He answered, which was an extremely nice thing for a frog to say.